Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Good morning. Hey, when you look around your house, are there things just sitting around gathering dust? And you think, I just don't use that anymore. I don't use it enough to justify its presence here. And I'd really love it to just go to a new home, someone that'll use it. What about the garage? There are a couple of new bikes just sitting there from that get fit phase that you went through 3 years ago. What about each day as you back out of the driveway to head to work? Do you look at the caravan in the front yard with a sense of guilt and think, what a waste? I've actually only had the time to use it twice in 2 years. The share economy is the perfect way to solve all of this. And the internet means that bartering, trading, swapping and sharing has actually never been easier. Have you ever thought about the burden of ownership? Not only the wasted money and where on earth you store all of that stuff we were just talking about, but on a deeper level, how your consumer choices affect the planet of the future, your ever-growing landfill footprint. That terrifies me. The shared economy is a way of reducing that burden, and it can also allow you to tap into services and products that you might not otherwise be able to. Let's take a look at some ways that it works.
This is Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
And I want to hear from you. Are you someone who likes to give away the stuff you no longer need to others? Or are you someone who loves to go on the hunt for these treasures? And what's the best thing you've ever scored for free? The number is 1300 222 720, or you can send me a text 0437 922 720. With me today, Justin Hales. He is the CEO of Camplify, that connects caravan and motorhome owners with holiday makers so that they can share in the joy of camping. It's kind of described as the Airbnb of the camping sector. And Renee Bebbington, she is the CEO of Milligan Community Centre, and they help facilitate the really, really free market in Bunbury. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Morning.
Justin, let's start with you. I just talked about that guilt some must get as they go out of the driveway and see that expensive caravan that's never used. How did the idea of Camplify come up for you?
My wife and I wanted to go away on a caravanning holiday. I'd always done that as a kid. Every holiday for me was spent in my parents' caravan with all my cousins and aunties and uncles and grandparents going away on different caravanning adventures. And as an adult, I live in inner city and I don't really have anywhere to store one, so I haven't decided to buy one for myself, but I still wanted to have access to be able to use that asset when I wanted it. And just around my little neighbourhood, there's hundreds that just sit on the side of the road parked and hardly ever get used. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great way for me to not have to buy one, but to be able to use one whenever I needed it? And that's kind of where Camplify was born.
So I see the same thing when I'm running. That's sort of the burden of ownership, I suppose. It seems such a shame, doesn't it, when you're running or walking the dog and you see all of these things just sitting there not being used?
It is. It's the modern world that we have kind of grown up in the last kind of 50 years of that consumerism, you know, buy everything that we want to use ourselves. But, you know, there really is a better way to do it, and you don't have to own every single thing that you want to use. You can have access to things in your local community via platforms like ours.
So you said you did a lot of caravan holidays as a kid. What did that look like?
Yeah, so we'd pretty much, you know, every school holidays. My parents are both teachers, so we were lucky enough to have lots of holidays, which was good. So, you know, we'd head off in our caravan up the north coast of New South Wales and, you know, stay in a caravan park with, you know, myself and my sister and mum and dad. And we'd coordinate it so all the aunties and uncles and, you know, kids were there as well. And so the kids would go off and, you know, have their adventure in the caravan park and, you know, mum and dad would be able to sit and catch up with the relatives and, you know, have a few drinks of an afternoon as well.
So now running this business where you're allowing others to use, you know, to put them in contact so that they can share caravans, is it a different experience for you when you were a child being in your own caravan? Was there a lot of work that happened when you got home cleaning that up compared to now where you can just, you know, go and borrow someone else's?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different type of experience because you don't have to worry about servicing and maintenance and ensuring that, you know, when you're preparing to go away on a trip, that you've got to get your van ready to go. You know, the owner does that for you. But, you know, from a consumer point of view, from a hirer perspective, it means that you can have access to all different types of vehicle depending on the type of holiday you want to go on, because not all caravans are right for every type of holiday. So now if you want to go and do a, you know, an outback adventure, you can get the right outback caravan or camper trailer. If you want to go do a caravan park holiday, then you can get the right van for that type of holiday as well. So it frees up and allows you to have pick and choose the right type of vehicle for the way that you want to consume your holiday.
So all those experiences as a child you wanted to, I suppose, experience then as you got into adulthood, and I understand this all came about because of a dog called Storm.
That's right, exactly, yeah. So we wanted to take our dog away on holidays, and, you know, commercial providers, that's something that they don't really offer as a service, is to be able to actually, you know, take your pets with you, which, you know, these days is becoming something of the norm that people want to take their pets on holidays with them. So that's, you know, another great advantage of the sharing economy is that it is a free marketplace, and people can come to an agreement and, you know, allow things like that to happen.
Can you talk us through how Camplify works? I know there's other companies as well doing this, but I think you're the biggest in Australia. And talk us through how it actually works in terms of, you know, handing over my prized possession to someone else.
Yeah, so you start with creating your listing on our platform. So you set the rules and the pricing, and provide us with some information, provide us with some photos of your vehicle. Then one of our team talks to you and talks you through exactly what this means and how you can successfully, you know, share your asset via our platform, and provides you some training and advice on how to set your vehicle up correctly, what are the things to ask for when someone comes through and makes an inquiry with you, and how much money should you charge, how should you make sure that you're using the platform correctly, what are the things that you need to do to make sure that your vehicle is safe and able to be hired out correctly. And then once you're up and live, customers come through to you, make an inquiry with you. You ask them questions and make sure that it's the right type of hire and that you're comfortable with that person. You then accept them. They pay through the platform, and then our customer service team provides you with mentoring and advice. We're always there to help, and if something does go wrong, that's where we can step in and make sure that you know, we've provided a bond for you, and we can hand you over to the insurance company to make sure that everything is correct through if that does happen and the worst does happen.
So, Justin, this all grew pretty quickly, though. So there's you sitting there going, I live in a city area. I want to go on a sort of a caravan holiday, and I don't want to own one, so can I rent one? Realise you can't, and decide, well, okay, let's do this share economy style of setup. I mean, how quickly has this transitioned from something small into, you know, one of the bigger providers in the country?
Yeah, so I literally had the idea within about 3 weeks. I had a very basic website up and going just to sort of test to see whether people would be interested or not. Once I found out that people were interested, then that's kind of when I started to build out the business. And, you know, we launched for customers. So that all happened in early 2015, January 2015. We launched for customers to be able to hire, had our first hire in August 2015. And then since then, you know, we're now a few years down the track. We've got over 3,500 vehicles on the platform in Australia. We've got over 900 vehicles on the platform in the UK. We're about to launch in New Zealand. We've already got over 100 signed up to be able to do this in New Zealand. And then we're looking at another couple of other countries as well. So it's grown really fast, really quickly. And we've paid owners through our platform almost $20 million in hire fees just in Australia.
Wow. And Carmel's texted in already, Justin, to ask, is it camper vans too? It is, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Any type of recreational vehicle, so camper vans, motorhomes, camper trailers, caravans, you know, pretty much if you can go camping in it and it's on wheels, then you can put it on the platform.
And you were Jess Strutt on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth. We're talking about the share economy. Have you got a lot of stuff laying around the house that you don't want anymore, you don't use anymore, and you'd happily give it away or barter it or swap it with someone else? That's what all of this is about. So it could be, you know, cutting out the middleman, putting a few extra bucks in your pocket. Maybe you want a caravan holiday, but you don't actually want a caravan sitting in your front yard unused for 11 and a half months of the year. Then the share economy really is all for you. And the internet, of course, has made it a lot easier. But now we're going to talk to Renee Bevington. She is the CEO of Milligan Community Centre, and they help facilitate something called the Really, Really Free Market in Bunbury. I love this idea. Renee, tell us about it. How did this unfold?
Morning, Jess. The Really, Really Free Market is a community-driven project. So we know that Really, Really Free Market started out in Christchurch, New Zealand, in conjunction with Food Not Bombs meals. So the Food Not Bombs meals challenged the idea of scarcity. And along with that, the Really, Really Free Market moved on to Asia for Buy Nothing Day.
And it's been going for quite a while. It's growing in popularity, I understand.
Oh, we have 150 people through our doors every month. So we've been going for a year now, and it's just evolved into this beautiful community program where people come along, they share food, they share plants, they share anything you can imagine is being shared.
I'll just go through a couple of texts with you guys because plenty of people with different views and different things that they've got. Jack says the biggest issue is gifts. It was our kid's first birthday and my wife was horrified when I asked if we could put no presents on the invites. Now we have more useless crap, says Jack. Thanks, Jack. And that is something that does my head in. Lots and lots of plastic there, which is, of course, having a impact on the environment. This one, Julia says, hey, Jess, I'm looking for somewhere to donate four ball gowns. And I remember hearing on ABC about a charity that collected formal wear for kids who couldn't afford nice stuff for school balls, but I can't find anything online. Be great if you could help. Julia, from memory, Bowgers Senior High School went out there a few years ago with the then Premier, Colin Barnett, and he was talking to the kids about it. I'm pretty sure that would still be operating. In fact, I've donated a couple of my own ball gowns. Probably weren't the ones that everyone wanted, though. So maybe touch base with Bowgers Senior High School. So this is about more than just stuff, Renee.
So much more. So much more.
In what ways?
So the Really, Really Free Market, it helps to build community. So it builds strong, resilient communities through a space to connect with each other. So when we run a Really, Really Free Market, we open the doors, 10 o'clock, everyone walks in, people bring stuff, they don't bring stuff, it doesn't matter. Just being a part of it and being in a space with your community. It's a flat level movement, so it belongs to everybody. And for us, the powerful narrative that comes from the people that are a part of it is beautiful. And I can share some of those beautiful stories.
Please do.
Our last Really, Really Free Market, we had a beautiful lady come along, and she was new to Australia and had been struggling quite a bit financially. She had two young children with her and was awaiting a working visa. And she said to one of the Milligan team, when she walked in the door, she said, this is the first time since I've been in Australia that I've been able to give my children the opportunity to say, take whatever you want. And how powerful that was for her.
Kids must have been overwhelmed with the excitement, I imagine.
Absolutely. But then the
like
flip
kids
side.
Like kids in a candy store, really?
Absolutely. And then there's a flip side of you see families and their children are bringing along all of their excess toys and clothes and experiencing that gift of giving, which is almost like a forgotten concept for children these days, how powerful it is to give to someone.
Yeah, so there's the flip side. Yeah, that's that burden of ownership thing, isn't it?
Where, it is.
You know, you sort of get that joy from actually going, you know what, I've read that book and it was great. Now I want someone else to share. What I had.
Yes.
Do you get a lot of kids coming along to donate their stuff then?
We do. We get a whole heap of kids. So they come donate and we have a beautiful playground. So they go and meet some new friends out in the playground. Their mums and dads meet up new people in the community. We get, lots of kids, yep.
Hey, Julia, your text regarding those beautiful ball gowns you've got, which I'm sure are much nicer than the ones I donated, Kay's called us to let us know that Banksia Grove High School also has a ball gown donation program. The school is quite new, says Kay, and they have their ball later in the year. Hope that helps. Brilliant. There you go. Putting people into touch to unburden themselves and hopefully also help out others who might want something. Hey, let's go to James, guys, because he's called in and he's part of this shared economy. G'day, James.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Going well. What do you do?
My wife and I have founded a closed library in Fremantle, and it's called Lost Property. And talking about ball gowns, she's actually started a year 12 formal incentive where we do accept donations of ball gowns, and we gift them out to the high schoolers who can't quite afford the expensive rigmarole of the balls, and we sort of gift the hair and makeup as well from local businesses. But the closed library is actually a collaborative wardrobe that we accept donations of everyone's spare clothes. It's another alternative to the op shop kind of way of passing things on. And we actually have members who subscribe to the library, and they use the library instead of buying new clothes in fast fashion.
Fantastic. And what prompted you to get involved in this space?
It started with my wife kind of... she used to be a vintage dealer, so she used to sort of pick up a lot of clothes that wouldn't even fit her because she really liked, and she was selling them. But we got to a stage where our garage was full. And I used to joke with her that she was a lot better at collecting them than getting rid of them. So
when you gift these dresses, do you ever get back in touch or hear from the young women that have worn these dresses to the balls? Do you ever get that feedback coming back through
absolutely, and it's beautiful because they can. We keep it quite secret with them. Like they don't necessarily want to be known that they've been, using secondhand ball gowns and stuff. But it's great that they can go and get involved with their class ball, and it doesn't have to cost thousands of dollars, which parents often have to pay with those kind of events.
James, that's fantastic. Beautiful to know that other people are out there involved in this shared economy. A few more texts coming through. Ball gowns are also gratefully accepted at Newton Moore High School in Bunbury for those in the southwest. Thanks, Renee. And so that was for you, Julie. I think it was you. We've now got a fair few schools where we know that they accept ball gowns, so that's great. They just sit and collect dust otherwise. Re-caravans, here's a question for you, Justin. That would be a nightmare if someone burns out a gearbox, for instance, 200 kilometres north of Newman. Who pays for the emergency accommodation and flights home and pays for the vehicle to be returned home, costing thousands? What if the owner claims the vehicle was abused? I presume that's all part of the contractual negotiations that come out at the start, right, Justin?
That's right, yeah. We've done thousands and thousands of these hires now, and we also provide breakdown cover as part of the owner's listing with us. So we provide emergency assistance, accommodation, rental cars sometimes. So, we go through that whole process, and generally everything's covered through our processes. So, yeah, it all works really well.
I imagine I could do a whole show now on ball gowns and school formals, because I've got another text here. Anyone doing anything for boys? Cost me $800 to outfit my son for his school formals. Good idea. Maybe that's something that we can throw out there today, because it is expensive, isn't it, these school balls these days? I borrowed my sister's ball gown, and it was probably a little big for me, but certainly saved mum and dad a bit of money. Justin, the other thing I wondered around... Your company, I imagine a lot of owners would love earning a bit of extra money from sharing their caravan or the camper van, but is there ever a little bit of trepidation, handing over that pride and joy? Do you see that trepidation when they come through the doors?
Yeah, we do, and generally that's the first hire that the van drives down the street. There's that little bit of concern, but customers, I think the great thing about the way that we do things is that we connect up that person who loves their the caravan and the person that really wants to go away on this trip. And those two, you know, people, you know, sometimes, you know, become quite good friends through the platform. And, you know, I've actually got a really good story about an owner and a hirer who connected up through our platform. We had a lady named Betty who was very concerned about her caravan and making sure that it, you know, only went out to the person that was going to look after her van. And she, her first hire came through and it was a lady named Jan who decided to try to hire it from Betty. And Jan actually had known Betty for 40 years. They'd played bowls together. They lived three streets from each other. But Jan would never, ever ask Betty if she could borrow her caravan. But as soon as she said, oh, I'm happy to pay to take it away, then, you know, all of a sudden that sort of connection happened, and people that had been friends for a long time connected back up through the platform, and you know, then were able to you know, feel comfortable enough with the right insurances and contracts and all that kind of stuff in place to be able to actually share their asset.
That is the cutest story, and it's amazing now that you have to go to the internet to connect with someone who actually lives three streets away from you. Says a lot about community, doesn't it? And I think that's what you've been touching on this morning, Renee, that sense of community that you get from the markets where people can go and just give away things. You're connecting with people and having conversations with people. You know, you might be lonely. It's a great way to just socialise, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. We talk about any way that we can find to reduce the access and barriers to being included in your community. So taking away money is a really big one for us. Creating an even ground.
And it's free to actually do it as well, right? So sometimes at markets you've got to pay a fee to turn up and, you know, actually show your wares or give away your wares for free. No charges here at this one?
It's really, really free.
I'm struggling to get my head around
it. It's such a foreign concept these days. Like, everything is really, really free, and you'll always spot a newbie because they'll say, oh, can I take this? And we'll say, yes, it's really, really free. What about the bag? Yes, that's really, really free too.
So basically the newbies and the first timers, they stand out at these markets.
They do.
Yeah?
They do. You see the discomfort in that just being not being around that sort of concept. But people settle in very quickly. And I think when that even ground sort of is met, the warmth in the room and that feeling that you are on the same level as everybody else is really special.
What about for you, Justin? Once these people have made this connection through the company and maybe borrowed each other's caravans, do they end up sometimes going on? I mean, obviously, Betty and Jan were neighbours anyway and happened to connect through you. But do people sometimes make or forge relationships in other ways?
Yeah, actually, I had an email this morning from one of our owners who has been on our platform for 2 years, and he said that one of their very first hirers has come back to him and said, I've decided I'm going to buy a camper trailer. So can you please help me and give me some advice as to what I should buy? John helped out his hirer and said, yeah, I'll take you to the camper trailer place and I'll help you to pick out a model and make sure it's right for you. So, you know, they do, you know, form this sort of strong relationship lots of times where owners, you know, they really want to make sure that their van's looked after, and they also, you know, they're just so passionate about camping and the particular van they've got that they do form strong relationships sometimes with their hirers.
Focus on the issues that affect you with Jess Strutt on ABC Radio Perth and on the ABC Listen app.
That's right, you are with Jess Strutt, ABC Radio Perth, where we're talking about the shared economy. This one, I was gifted a car when in 1994 I was newly married and my husband lost his job. To this day, I'm an active member of the FACE group Pay It Forward Northern Suburbs. I give everything away and I screen for people that are doing it tough and have no other way to purchase whatever I'm giving away, bunk beds, a vacuum cleaner, shoes, I get to choose from potential recipients to ask to be considered. I favour single mums escaping DV, domestic violence obviously, because I've also been in that situation and I was given everything from furniture to clothing and even my rent was gifted for a year. That is a beautiful text. Please put your name on text like that just so that we all know who we're talking to. If you've got a beautiful story like that, you can give me a call 1-300-222-720 or you can send me a text 0437 922 0427 20. We'd love to hear your stories. Right now, though, we're going to have a chat with Zoe Barron. She's the founder of something called Available for Barter Fremantle. And I haven't stopped hearing about this because one of the producers here on Focus has been banging on about how great it is for weeks now. Zoe, good morning.
Good morning.
What does it do? How does it work?
Well, it's a bartering website. So the idea is that you offer, you either offer something else, offer something up that you want to get rid of or you have too much of. So say you've got a glut in your garden, or you request something. So you can ask for a particular type of like citrus or that someone else might be growing or a piece of furniture, or it really is anything. Initially, it was all the idea was kind of food and services, but it's become a lot more about stuff as well now.
Where did the idea come from? I know you're not really involved now, but you founded this. How did the idea come to you?
It was something that we were kind of doing anyway among our friends and neighbours. So my partner is a coffee roaster, and we were swapping. I'm a kind of a bike mechanic, and I do riding, so we were swapping that for other things.
I wish I lived in your street.
So we had a neighbour in the front of us who was a Bowen masseur. And so she would give us massages in exchange for coffee. And we were doing that sort of thing with our friends as well. Sometimes three-way swaps and borrowing utes to dig out trees to, you know, like offering babysitting services, all of these sorts of things. So I founded it just to kind of like formalize that in a Facebook group, make it an easy central place for everybody to go to. But then I went to a Living Smart course by Ecoburbia, which is an organization down in Fremantle. And in that course, we were kind of presenting different sustainable activities that we did in our everyday life. And I said, I've got this Facebook group with my friends. Everybody in the course joined it. And then it kind of went huge from there. And now we've had to cap it at 8,000 members. We've had to cap it at that. We had hundreds and hundreds of more requests, but it just was getting too big, too difficult to manage. So we had to kind of cap the numbers.
How have you managed to control that then?
Well, it's been a difficult beast to control. Once it started getting into the thousands, there was quite a lot of admin work to do. You know, there would be complaints to deal with. There would be people who weren't quite sticking to the rules. There would be other kind of issues coming up to the group. So eventually I actually had to recruit a panel of admins to help me administer the group. And then eventually I kind of decided that I would step out. So I've handed it over to them, and they do a magnificent job. And then I just kind of like let it go and remove myself as admin, which was actually very cathartic. But it was, originally it was just a small thing amongst friends. So it got a lot bigger than I ever expected.
Well, 8,000 people, that's huge. Molly Schmidt produces Focus here, the show that we're on. And she said that she swapped dozens of things in exchange for wine, and she once baked a cake in exchange for a fridge. Do you have a lot of young people coming on there to get a hold of some wine and that they're willing to cook for someone or swap a plant?
Yeah, young and old. There's been a lot of actually really lovely stories coming out of the group. There was one, a family who was moving over from, it was either overseas or interstate, and they just put a little post on the group saying, hey, we're new to Fremantle. We've got nothing. We're going to rock up and we just need our house furnished and everything. And people just jumped on. People offered to pick them up from the airport, to show them around town, to donate all of this furniture. And it was just this really beautiful story of sharing and exchange and gifting as well.
Anything strange anyone's ever exchanged on there?
There was a pair of crow's wings once.
Wow.
There was a 20-kilo tub of mayonnaise. There's been lots of very strange things. I think those are the two that I remember the best.
Not too bad for 8,000 people. And around that, there must be rules. I mean, I know you said you had to cap it, but are there other rules around this? Because I imagine that, you know, you want to hope that, you know, people's nicer side will show out with things like this, but do you have rules to just stop any bad elements coming through?
We do. I mean, we don't have to police that too much. There's some occasion like bickering over agreed barters or people not coming to pick stuff up, but mostly people are really nice and really good. So we've got just a general rule of just, you know, be decent and be sensible and stick to your word. And we kind of have a warning system. So it'll be a kind of three strikes and you're out sort of deal. If there's been complaints against you, then we'll moderate a little bit. But we don't have to do that much of that considering the size of the group. And then the other rule, and this is the one that we like to make a bit stricter, which is a boundary rule. So eventually when it started getting really big, there were people all bartering from Armidale and from way up north. And I really wanted to keep it as a local group. So I drew a map boundary based on kind of cycling distance, like if I was happy to cycle anywhere within that map. So really kind of Fremantle focused. And then that way I wanted to kind of nurture a local economy, like a real, the idea that you're getting to know your neighbours and exchanging locally. And then I really encouraged spin-off groups. So there's been lots and lots of spin-offs. There's one in New Zealand, I think. There's one in Melbourne. There's one on the Sunshine Coast. There's a lot in different places in Perth. So there's one for north, there's one for south, there's one, I think there's some down south groups. I don't think any of them have exploded like the Fremantle group has, because it's a very, very unique kind of social capital that exists in Fremantle that's really allowed the group to flourish. But yeah, like I wanted to kind of keep the group within a boundary so you could kind of get to know your neighbours.
It's a beautiful idea, and it makes Fremantle even more tempting than it is otherwise. Thank you very much, Zoe Barron, founder of Available for Barter. Justin, you talked about Betty and Jan, but I just wondered, do you get other stories of joy that people get from sharing what is can be a pretty expensive investment, a caravan or a camper van?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had lots of stories of various things like, you know, mums being able to stay home and not have to go back to work because they're able to make some income from Camplify. We had a great story of a guy in the UK who, was in some financial troubles and really wanted to keep his camper van for his kids to be able to use, but really was struggling to be able to do that. And through our platform, he was able to actually do that and still keep his camper van to use when he wanted to use it as well.
Justin, you might not know the answer to this, but maybe someone out there does. I've had a text come in. I've got a boat that sits idle and has major costs. Is there a sharing platform for this?
Not yet. So there's
you're
a few issues,
Justin.
I think there are a few people out there trying to tackle that sector, but there are a few issues around the legalities and insurances of sharing boats. But eventually, someone will get there. So just make sure you keep an eye on the internet for boat sharing. I'm sure something will pop up soon.
One of the things you mentioned at the start, Justin, was the idea of being able to hire different things and go on different types of holidays. And I often think, if I win the lotto, would I buy a holiday home? And I think, nah, well, it depends on how much I win. But I think, nah, you know, I like the freedom of not worrying about another possession and being able to go on different types of holidays to different locations. Is that the beauty of people being able to use different, different offerings? They might go on a camper trail experience in one place and a caravan. Because, I mean, obviously you can access different sites depending on what you're using.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, sometimes you might want to go on a holiday where a motorhome would be perfect for that. So let's say, for example, you know, the Great Ocean Road in Victoria is perfect for a motorhome. Whereas if you're going to go into the outback in Western Australia, then, you know, perhaps a camper trailer is a much better option for you. So there's loads of different options out there in terms of the types of RVs that are available to in the Australian marketplace. And, you know, not every single one is right for somebody to own on an ongoing basis to be used as their regular holiday. But for a particular type of holiday, that might be absolutely perfect. So we've actually had some great examples where owners have listed their caravans on our platform, hired them out, and then use that income to go and hire a outback camper trailer and go out on an adventure on that instead. So, there's loads of different options for both sides there.
Beautiful. Renee, with the markets, the really, really free markets down in Bunbury that you guys help facilitate, what sort of people, I mean, you mentioned you often see immigrants come through, and that beautiful story of the woman who was so proud to be able to say to her kids, go and pick out whatever you want. What other sorts of people come through? Is it a real mixed bag?
It is. This is the beautiful thing about it. So we see people of all ages, all cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and that's one of the things that makes it so beautiful, because it's created a really safe space for people to share their stories and build empathy in our community. And with empathy and understanding reduces that fear of the unknown, creating really strong communities.
It's a beautiful idea. So I understand as well, sometimes people come along with with food. I think you might have mentioned that. You had a new immigrant come down, is that right? And share some food?
We did. We did. We were very lucky. Just last month we had a beautiful lady who has not been in Australia for very long. She is from India and she brought in a beautiful biryani. Brianna, is that how you say it? The rice dish?
It's like I think so. Let's go with that and wait till the phones light
amazing.
Up.
Amazing. And she brought it in to share, but it was also a way for her to start testing the potential or validate her startup business. So she was starting up a home business where she would create home-cooked Indian meals and deliver them to families in the Bunbury area.
That is so beautiful, isn't it? Chris has called in and he's got a story about bartering. G'day, Chris.
G'day. I've just remembered a story that came from Canada where a man traded in about 15 trades from a red paperclip all the way to a house.
This is a smart fellow. How did he manage to do this?
I'm not actually sure the exact story. I just remember reading it and thinking, wow, what an incredible thing to do, to go from a red paperclip all the way through the house. I think he traded for a pen. I think that was his first thing. And I think the very last thing he traded was a walk-on role for a movie, and he traded that for the house. So, yeah, quite an amazing story.
Beautiful story. Chris, do you like to give away the stuff that you don't need anymore? Rehome?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I get rid of all my clothes and everything now. I've lost some weight, so it's a good time to get rid of it. So, I try to get rid of my stuff as much as I can.
Oh, good on you, Chris. Thanks very much for calling in. Lovely to hear. A couple more texts here have come through. And I've been asking you this morning whether you're involved in this share economy, as they call it, and whether you like to give away things that might be sitting gathering dust in the house that you no longer need and really could just go to a better home and probably lessen your landfill footprint, as I call it. And yes, I do have one myself. Good morning. A girl I know, Hayley Bennett, has just started a new Facebook group called Perth Vegan Community Food / Pantry Assistance, where people can post food items available for free so people in need can receive them. I think it's a great initiative that is still in its early stages of gathering momentum. I love the idea of the shared economy. More the merrier, I reckon. Kind regards, Dave from Secret Harbour. Good on you, Dave. Thanks for that. And I do recall one that wasn't vegan, but I did read in a newspaper recently of we've got the little book exchange, haven't we? Some people have got that out the front near their postbox and they put their books that they no longer want there and you can go and just grab them out. You don't even need to be a member of the library. And I've saw one recently where people put leftover pantry items in. What a beautiful idea. If it was well used. Another text here. I've been listening to your program as I dug up and snipped off plants for a neighbour. I belong to Buy Nothing, Pierce or Hocking, and I'm getting to know my neighbours as we exchange possessions, food, plants and even services. It's a great group, and as two retired women, it's bringing my partner and I in touch with young families. And that is exactly what we're talking about here, that beautiful idea of community, which we seldom see these days because we are at work for so many hours. You've mentioned, Renee, a few things that people come down and share, obviously food and other unwanted goods, but do you get a lot of repeat people coming back, people who maybe have an annual or monthly clean out, they've gone and done that bit of a minimalist lifestyle and they're happy to offload a few things?
Absolutely. I think we see about 50-50, so 50% repeat, 50% new. A lot of the people that are coming back as repeat are coming back because they love being around people. So we have one lady that brings a platter every month. We have people that bring soups. And we found out that a couple of the local bakeries have an excess of bread every day. So we were able to access the excess bread that usually would go into the big tip bins and bring that along, and we toast that up and make cheesies to go with soup. So, yeah.
Plenty of different
it
items.
It just grows, yeah.
And are there any rules around limits on what you can take? Because we did do a show at one point on hoarding and it's a real problem. I can imagine if I turned up and I had, maybe 30 of my most prized beautiful books and I wanted them to go to a good home and someone just came and grabbed every one, I probably my sense of you know, gifting and love might feel a little bit hurt. So how do you control that sort of behaviour if indeed you need to?
It's an interesting thought, and we have, as a team, we have talked about that sort of thing. But for us, we just we sit in a place where we have great trust in people making good decisions and try not to judge why people do the things that they do, because usually there's a reason, and it's not because they're being unkind. So no, it's not something that we police. Just be hopeful and kind, and I think if you role model kindness and role model fairness, then that is a ripple effect.
It's a beautiful way to express it. Chris has called in. No, we might have lost Chris. She did have a question for you, Renee, so we'll see if we can get her back. But we'll see if we can get her back. What about, Justin, what about with you? I mean, obviously things go wrong. People would have accidents when they borrow people's caravans. I imagine that's pretty rare.
That's right, yeah. Things do go wrong every now and again. It is pretty rare. Our owners spend lots of time with our hirers making sure that they understand the usage of their vehicle. But that's where using a platform like ours can help and make sure that the owner and the hirer are protected and that all the things are in place that need to be in place, that if something does happen and things go wrong, that you are protected.
We talked about the joys for the person who's lending or renting out, should I say, their camper van, but what about the joys for the renter? I mean, obviously, there's they're only paying a smaller fee than owning it. Do they also give you feedback in terms of you know, what they like about not having that burden of ownership as it is?
Yeah, well, we've had lots of people that have dreamt about owning an RV for a long time. You know, they might be saving up to buy one eventually, and sometimes the ownership cycle of getting to the point where you retire and you buy that RV to do your trip around Australia or whatever it might be, that can be, you know, sometimes 15 to 10 years of waiting to be able to go and experience that. So we've had lots of people that have actually been able to shortcut that and go on a trip and experience what it's like and, you know, really be able to make sure that they can have those experiences when they're able to do them and not have to wait for years into the future to be able to do that as well.
Look, a fantastic discussion. I hope we've maybe got people's brains geared up today about what they could do with some things in their home if they're looking to re-gift or re-home them. My big thanks to Justin Howe, CEO of Camplify, which has it's been described as, you know, pretty similar to the Airbnb of the camping sector, and Renee Bebbington from the Milligan Community Centre, which facilitates that really, really free market in Bunbury. A fantastic discussion.
It's always more fun to share with everyone. It's always more fun to share with everyone. Your friend, if you have three, give one to your friend and me. It's always more fun to share with everyone. It's always more fun to share with everyone. Take it.